Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Expert Talk Show, and we have with us a guest in the studio, Dr. Mark Williamson, who is the owner and the veterinarian over at Lansing Veterinary Medical Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Williamson.
Thank you, Lee, and thank you, Rick. How are you doing today?
Oh, great. It's our pleasure to have you. Dr. Williamson, the thing that I find to be the most unique about your medical facility, I know you deal with general animals, dogs and cats and other animals like that, but you chose to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Is it because you just really love animals and can't get enough? Are you a glutton for punishment, or was there really just a need?
Well, I think there's a combination of all that there, Lee. A 24-hour practice, I think, is a necessity in areas that have a high population of pet owners. And to be able to fill that niche so that all of the veterinarians can know that pet owners have a place to go when their hours are closed. And so we decided to go 24 hours to provide that area time so that those veterinarians and those pet owners know that at any point of the day, if there's a crisis that comes along, we can help them on out.
And that's probably not a typical path that many veterinarians take. There's probably a good number of reasons that you've probably learned along the way as to what that journey is all about. Maybe tell us some of the reasons why, we don't see a lot of that, and maybe some of the reasons why you chose to go down that avenue.
Well, that's a good question, Rick. It's, hard to kind of put it all in the perspective. But the reason we, elected to put an emergency facility in the area was really a need.
When
I was going through school, everybody was doing their own after hours, or you had veterinarians as a group doing that. Uh-huh. And you found that, those animals that needed that care, you couldn't establish to stay in there and with them 24 hours a day.
Sure.
And so talking with the colleagues in the area, there was a tremendous need to have a place that they could, refer to. And people were in there, veterinarians, technicians, being able to treat these animals
around the clock. Do the whole deal.
Exactly
right. As if they were walking in there at 3 in the afternoon.
Exactly right.
And then they also have, they walk into your place probably without any appointments, which is also another element.
Yeah.
And so there's probably a unpredictable scheduling that you have to contend with. You probably have some times when we're looking at each other and wondering what we're going to do, and other times when you got a full waiting room, right?
Yes, it kind of comes in ebbs and flows.
And the local veterinarians in the area, have they been particularly supportive at understanding your value to them and to the community? Do they tend to encourage their clients to go there if in an emergency, or how do you pick up the volume of traffic that you get?
Well, definitely it takes a collaboration of our colleagues, and the regular veterinarians in the area are very supportive. They know that, having a place in need when they're not available is important.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave an opportunity to have alternative choices. So the university has always been there, and we decided to kind of help that on out as well.
Mm-hmm.
The way we kind of gather that information is basically awareness, letting people know that we are available 24 hours a day.
Sure.
It's not a planned event like you said. And so through the primary veterinarians, letting them know that when they're closed, what to do, and through us kind of reaching out to the general public, letting them know that if there is an occurrence, this is a place you call.
You advertise probably a little bit, let people know that way.
Yes, we do.
Certainly I've seen that.
Well, Rick, if I could jump in. Dr. Williamson, one of the things that I think is really extraordinary about what you do, and I think it's a sign of courage more than anything else, is if I'm coming in for standard care for my animal, preventative maintenance, that's pretty much done on appointment time during regular hours at standard vets.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that the bulk of the work that you do is not the preventative care, it's the emergency care. Something actually did happen at a non-convenient time, and now I don't know what to do. I don't think I can wait for my vet to open. Therefore, I'm coming to you. So I've got to imagine most of what you see is much more stress-related, emergency-related, and frankly, scarier situations. Am I right or wrong?
Lee, you're absolutely right. You know, definitely people that are caring for their pets schedule that preventive care. They prepare for that. I don't think you can prepare for when a crisis happens.
Right.
And that crisis could be different for every person. You know, fortunately, not every animal we see is life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
But a crisis is when you walk on in and your pet's not doing well. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You're automatically a little more anxious, nervous, and you find out that, gosh, the place I want to go to, my primary veterinarian, their hours are closed. So we end up seeing people that are a little bit, you know, in a little more anxiety at a place at a time that they don't really think they need to be, and they have that beloved pet not feeling well. And so, yes, it takes the whole staff being able to kind of understand that and kind of, you know, be that little bit of a barrier to kind of let those people kind of calm down a little bit so we can assess that animal. So it's a little bit different in that way.
Now, in 05, you made a big move to a new facility. I've been in there. It's mm-hmm. just fantastic. What a beautiful spread.
Thank you.
How has that changed your business? How has that helped your business? And, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, the move was a necessity. Uh-huh. You know, we were in a little bit smaller building, and we knew that we were outgrowing that very rapidly.
Uh-huh.
So we found this location, you know, and in 05, we're fortunate to move in there. A lot better space. It was built for what we want to do. And so from front to back, where the whole staff is, where the clients are, you know, operates much smoother. Having a newer facility, I think, also helps out as well. You know, those people come on in and they see that newer building, they get a little bit more sense of security.
Sure.
And it just makes, it has made our job a lot easier in that respect.
And is there new equipment or any different equipment that you have there?
Well, I think that happens over time as well, you know,
yeah.
And being ready for an emergency, we just have to have those things that are important.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we put a digital x-ray machine in versus your standard x-ray, full in-house lab work.
Sure.
And that allowed us to have, you know, a lot, you know, more efficiency in what we do. Well, we added a isolation room that only the sick animals that have contagious areas. Totally separated from everything else, in a consultation room that we can spend time with a
nice.
Pet owner,
mm-hmm.
and they can spend time with their pet, you know, outside the realms of where everything else
is. In your case, I'm sure that's really, really important.
It is.
Even more so than your average veterinarian, because you probably have more consultation needs,
yes.
you know, more emergency situations,
yes.
just like you see, you know, at hospitals.
Yeah, absolutely right. Going on into, you think of going into the emergency room and you kind of have that little family room, you know,
yeah.
and you need that area there. And it's very important for us to have that little small room that they can spend time with their pets and we can kind of give them undivided attention outside the realm of everything else.
We're talking this morning with Dr. Mark Williamson, the owner and veterinarian over at the Lansing Veterinary Medical Center over on Jolly Road near Dunkel. Dr. Williamson, let me ask this question. What led you into being a veterinarian? And if you were talking today with someone who is thinking about becoming a vet, is studying at the university, or even a parent
mm-hmm.
who's trying to guide their children into what they need to do to become a vet, what would you tell them?
Well, the first thing to answer the first part of the question, why did I become a veterinarian? It was a very simple project in middle school, seventh grade. You know, teachers just say, pick a career, you know, what you're interested in. And, you know, and I think a lot of people do love pets and animals. And when I started looking around, I did a, you know, report on veterinarians. And I says, this is something that really I want to do. From that point forward, I spent all my attention trying to figure out how to do that.
Did you have a number of pets yourself? Were you allowed to have pets when you were?
We did have a couple of pets, but
yeah.
you know, not nearly as many as I have now.
Okay.
And so, you know, I was familiar with that, and I would mm-hmm. spend time going into the veterinarian when my pet was going on in. But I think it was just doing a little research, you know, and saying this is what I want to do, and something clicked.
Nice.
Now, nowadays, you know, if I was talking with a young person that wanted to kind of pick a career, I would definitely encourage him to look at this profession. You have so many opportunities to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to make certain that you're passionate about what you're following and, you know, spend some time with a veterinarian. You know, what do they do? Look at all the different aspects they can do. And if it's something that you're really focused on, passionate about, I think you just got to go for it.
Now, do you have you have to, if you're 24/7, you have to have more than just yourself as a practicing veterinarian?
Yes. Those are long hours to do that.
Yeah, that'd be a little.
It's been done before, but we don't want to continue. Your
circles aren't that dark under your eyes.
So fortunately, we are blessed to have three other veterinarians in there, and we do use a couple part-time veterinarians when the time of need, and that allows us to schedule around the clock with enough quality veterinarians.
Well, when you're looking at the career itself, one of the things that I think has probably changed the most is it seems like now there are so many specialties within veterinary medicine that didn't necessarily exist in the past. Instead of having to know 100 different animals, now it seems like there are specialists for, we've got an ophthalmic surgeon located in Williamston, if I'm not mistaken, who specializes just in that type of operation on animals. I mean, talk about that a little bit, how the industry has changed just in the time you've been in it.
Well, over the years, we've become more, upscale with what happens. And just like human medicine, it comes important to be able to devote your time and attention to one area. And as medicine becomes more known, you can't do it all as well as somebody who focuses only on ophthalmology or surgery. So I think over the years, there's been a need for, people to become specialists in different areas. One thing I think is important with that is we've kind of brought that pet much, much closer to our family. And because of that, people expect that level of care. And if it's something that, a primary general veterinarian is unable to kind of fulfill that, we need to have specialists that are in neurology that can go ahead and do CT scans, MRIs. As orthopedic surgeons, they can put new hips into dogs. That can go ahead and do ophthalmology. So I think what has happened over time is as medicine has grown, we've evolved along with that. And while you do that, you have to specialize. You have to have people that you can trust that can do only that. And that's what's happened probably over the last, 15 years. And you'll see specialty practices all over the place now.
So how has the practice changed over the years in your own personal approach to working, not specifically with the pets, we're assuming that. What about the public and the people that come in? Have you learned more and more about how to skillfully work with those people?
Yeah, I think you do. Rick, over time, you get kind of more used to handling the different types of things that are coming on in and realize that the pet is obviously our focus point, but that person is, very well, a part of it all.
Yeah,
and I think over the years, I found that it's more important to kind of, get to know exactly what's going on and let those people know that, although I'm not a familiar face, I do know the regular veterinarian, and this is a place that they can come to. And I think that helps that barrier out an awful lot, getting to know the area veterinarians an awful lot. And over the years, I think that's allowed us to kind of, handle the situations much better.
Yeah.
Well, bottom line is, Dr. Williamson, clearly you play an important role in the overall issue of pet care, which we advocate all the time. And we want to thank you very much for coming in this morning. We've been talking this morning with Dr. Mark Williamson, the owner of the Lansing Veterinary Medical Center. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to have a conversation with Dr. Nolan, who's going to talk a little bit about exotic pet care right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320. WILS.
I must admit, I can't explain any of these thoughts racing through my brain.
It's true.
Baby, I'm calling for you. Alright. There's something wrong with this plot. The actors here have not got a clue. Bird.